Good morning, Boston.
Good morning, Boston.
Good morning.
Hey, let's go.
Good morning, Boston. How's everyone doing today? Good stuff. My name is Marcus Brown. I am the host of a Runner's Life podcast. The idea behind the podcast was to focus on what connects us all as runners beyond the speed and all that kind of good stuff. So originally, this podcast started as a lockdown project. And it's mad to see that I've taken this from my back room office to the main expo at Boston Marathon. So thank you. As part of the podcast, I've done a spin-off series called the Boston Marathoners Roundtable, where I speak with my boys. I've got Phil
What's King. Everybody?
Got Rob Jackson.
What's up? Good morning.
And we've got Corey Joyner, but unfortunately, he is in Florida or in California? I don't know where he's running in these days. Sort of.
California.
California. Okay, that's what he's telling the tax man. But jokes aside, I think he's running the London Marathon, yeah. So that's why he's not here today. Okay, so to kick things off, I really want to start talk about what does Boston mean to us? So I'll start with you, Phil, since you've run it more than both of us combined.
To me, Boston, like for amateur runners, Boston is like the pinnacle. It's kind of like the Olympics for the amateur runner, to where, and no matter where you go in the world, in this country, if you ask somebody about marathons, they're going to want to know, have you ran the Boston Marathon? So it's kind of like a achievement if within itself just to get here.
And how many times have you run it?
This will be number 6 and the last one. So this is like the last dance.
I love the way you keep getting this. This is the last one. We could have keep dragging you back.
Nah. I'll be back to support. You know, I like to come see friends and stuff running, but yeah, this is it for me.
Okay. We're going to try and tempt you back. Rob?
Oh, man. What Boston means to me, it's where I got my start. So I got talked into marathon running by a friend. It was very annoying. And I was like, all right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to try to make it to the Boston Marathon. Because the only thing I knew about the Boston Marathon at the time was it's just a big race on TV, and you have to be really fast. And I was not fast. So I used him annoying me and talking me into it, and then he got me where I am today. So I'm thankful for him. And then this is my third Boston Marathon. Maybe my last. We don't know. But I'm definitely looking forward to Monday.
Same for me. This will be my third Boston. So it's a special race, and I'm looking forward to get there on Monday. I'm trying not to look at the temperatures too much. Everyone keeps DMing me about the temperatures. I'm like, can you just allow it and just let me focus on the race?
Yeah, it's supposed to be spicy out there, man. We might lose a few pounds. I'm not looking forward to that.
Hopefully not too much, but I want to move on to footwear. So, Jordans. For those that probably can't see it, we're all in our J's. Phil, can you want to talk about it first?
I had to bring out the University Black and Yellow 12s, because 12s is my favorite colorway, and so I had to bring out the 12. And the thing about the Jordans is, like, I ran a race in Texas one time, and I showed up at the expo in Jordans. And I was lucky enough to get into the elite field. And so when I go to pick up my bib and stuff, the lady was just like looking at me like, you can't possibly be running the race because I had on Jordans. So it's like right now, if you look around, you're not going to catch not one runner in here. Like, you can pick out all the runners by their shoes. Like, everybody got on running shoes. So I said, from here going forward, when I go to expos, I'm going to have on my Jordans. That way I don't even look like a runner.
I'm exactly the same. I really want to come here, be relaxed, not kind of give off the vibes. All right, there are times I do wear my Boston jacket, but obviously I think you really want to make sure that you're being true to yourself. So I think the last year I came here and I was wearing my AJ3s, and I remember you picked up on that. And I think we, unbeknownst to the both of us, we didn't realize that we both had the same tradition. Rob kind of came to the expo like dressed like the starter gun was about to go off at any moment.
Look, that is beard on already.
Look, I'm ready to run at all times. I can run in some Jordans. I can run in some moccasins. I can do whatever. But yeah, I did come a little ready to run last year. So I found my groove. I found my style. I'm back. Sorry about that.
I still think you're ready to run now, to be honest. I feel like 30 seconds is probably all you need to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing with me with Jordans, so when I first got into running, like I said, I was fresh in the game. I got talked into it. I show up to a few races, and I don't feel like I belong. Like, I'm seeing these guys, the short shorts and toothpick. They're more skinnier than me. I'm like, man, I do not fit in. And, of course, I'm a little darker than them. So I was like, I got to do something to differentiate myself. So created my own logo. I wore my logo on my tanks. And that a lot of people actually like that. I had people come to me yesterday. They said they liked my suit. I had my own branding. And then the Jordans, I was like, yeah, I could do that. The Expos as well. Because, like you said, look out here. We're not gonna see no Jordans out here. So I definitely buy in with these guys.
That's good, man. I want to move on to our whys, because obviously your running why is important to why you're running the Boston Marathon. We've all trained hard for it. Phil, can I start with you? What's your why to run Boston this year?
Man, why for me always been like for representation, man. Like, when I first started running, before I ever even thought I could run a marathon, like, I did like a 5K, 10K, and I would have people like, man, you could Boston qualify, you could Boston qualify. So, like, for minorities, man, it's just like, it's a big thing to make it to Boston. So I had a lot of friends that like kind of pushed me to Boston, and when I make it to Boston, they make it to Boston. So for me, every year I come back, it's to represent me, my community, and my family.
And can you talk about anyone that you've known that's been inspired by you to maybe run Boston or another race?
I had a friend come, he actually hit me up this morning. He came in 2021, he ran it with me. And he actually had messaged me today. When I announced that this was going to be my last Boston, I had people inbox me like, no, this can't be your last Boston. You have inspired so many of us to try to do it. And in a way, I think it's because I came from like, just your regular runner, and then just kept working, and then you're achieving. And I think when people see stuff like that, they automatically think, you know, they can also do it.
Makes sense. I'm going to try and, like, bring you out of retirement for next year.
I don't believe this
is going to be your last Boston. We need PK to be back and represent.
Nah, he's not done. He'll be back. I promise.
Done.
Okay, Rob, what's your why for running Boston?
My why, pretty much like he said, the representation. I would say it's a joke. So when I run my races, I'm from Indianapolis. So I run a lot of races there, of course. So it's always a joke. I get done with my coach and my teammates, like, I'll finish. I'm like, oh, fastest black person. Not many black people running today. So I always get that in Indy, so I'll take that. That's an easy win. But this year, my biggest why is my mom. She recently passed away on the 20th of March. She had a stroke on October 1st. She never really recovered from that. She fought. And in general, to make it to Boston, and then the training block before Boston was all a fight. And she taught me how to fight these last 6 months more than ever. So this one's for her. It's her first race that she'll be able to see me run. She couldn't make any of my races before. So this year, I'm actually nervous because, like, I wasn't nervous. But then when she passed, everything, like, oh, this is her first time able to see me run. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm really excited.
And, yeah, respect to your mum's, Terry. You know, we're going to wear purple, which is her favorite color. The bands to support you and her. Although I didn't meet your mum, I've also shared this with you, and I'll share this with everyone out here. When my uncle recently passed away, she wrote a really kind message to me, which really helped. And I remember sharing that with you. And I was just like, wow, I've never met this person. But she's, like, reached out to me.
Yeah.
So I know she was an amazing person.
My mom was, she loved the pod, she loved the support. She always would ask me about you guys. I was like, Mom, you really know these people. That's what mom does, a little nosy, but I mean, I miss her. I'm definitely going to try to put on a show for her on Monday. You best believe that.
Absolutely. So I want to go on to your race tips, really. So Rob, what are your kind of, your tips to race the Boston Marathon?
Tips to race the Boston Marathon. Step one, get your eyebrows threaded. After here, I'm going to make a beeline straight to get my eyebrows threaded. Studies show it makes you faster. Don't quote me on that. But really, self-care is big for me. That's my tip for running Boston. It's my tip for running every race. It helps me relax. So I like to do the eyebrows, get those threaded, do the facial the night before. So tomorrow, if you check my IG, I'll have the mask on, getting exfoliated, chilling on the bed. But outside of that, when it comes to actually running the race, don't cook the first 5 miles, save your quads, and you'll be able to turn it on at the end, hopefully.
I love the way we had like a minute intro just about self-care, and then we finally got to the course.
Listen, these guys don't believe in self-care, and everybody comes back to the podcast on IG, and they're like, oh, you guys should listen to Rob, blah, 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 blah. Like, you guys should listen to Rob. My eyebrows look good. They don't look good right now, but they will look good on race day and in the pictures, so that's very important.
What is it? Look good, feel good, run good, right?
Yes, sir. Look good, feel good, run good, baby.
Okay, let's with some actual advice. Let's go to the OG of the group. Come on, what you got to save us here?
Definitely not the eyebrows. Like, that's not in my tips. I guess my tips would start with make sure you got the right Jordan lineup when you show up at the race weekend or whatever. If you got your shoes right. I mean, because you're on your feet a lot. So, really, seriously, though, the biggest thing I tell people is, like, if you're really trying to PR a race, then make sure you're not on your feet too much leading up to the race, because you can kind of defeat yourself before you ever get to the race. Like, for me yesterday, I was on my feet way too much. Like, so today I'm going to scale it way back. Then tomorrow it'll be even less time on my feet, because you don't really realize that you're around at the expo, all the pop-up shops, so you're out moving around and you're excited. And then you get back to the hotel room at night, you feel like you ran a marathon already. And if you actually look at your step count, you may have had already walked a half marathon. So, yeah, just save your legs leading up to the race. Start the race off easy. Pick it up. You really don't need to start fighting until you see them Newton heels.
Yeah, solid advice. And to add to what you've just said there, I think the unique thing about Boston that everyone knows here is that the race is on Monday, whereas like typically a race would be on Sunday. So you've got an extra day of trying to manage that energy. And I know everyone's here today and then tomorrow, and like, I'm going to sound like a dinosaur saying this, but I remember when you used to go to a marathon and it literally used to be the shakeout run and a pasta party and that was it. But now you come to the events and there's like everything to like fill your time. So I think it's about managing your time efficiently, you know, having fun, but just making sure that you save your energy when it matters for Monday. I guess for the course, kind of similar to what these guys kind of said, I feel like the first few miles are so fast, and don't give yourself like too much pressure about like trying to stay within a certain pace. Try and take it easy, but if you're going slightly faster, don't overly slow down for the next mile or so. For me, it's the Newton Hills, really, which are really where the race really begins for me, because that's where you sort of meet your maker almost, and you start sort of questioning your life decisions up to a certain point. And then once you're over and you're past mile 21, if you've overcooked it, you'll know. But if you haven't, that's when you can start to give it some good oomph and, run strong to the finish line. So I think just break the race down into those three parts, before the Newton Hills, and after Newton Hills. Basically, there's a theme there, as you can tell. I want to talk a little bit about some do's and don'ts that you guys have learned over the years. And it can be in Boston, but also for your training. I'll start with you, Phil.
Do's and don'ts. Do's, make sure you get in your runs. Don't be like me and not miss 3, 4, 5 runs, and you kind of trying to wing it on race day. So that's definitely a don't. If you're going to run a marathon, definitely do the training.
You keep standing back at us through this. He tries to pretend that he's not training. And then I see him on his IG stories, and he's just like actually killing it in Arkansas heat to this.
He's the biggest sandbagger in the group, I promise you.
But now some of the things that help, though, like know your body, know what nutrition worked for you, know what nutrition don't work with you. Just make sure you got your right gear. Don't try nothing new on race day. Just all the old cliches that they always tell you.
How about you, Rob?
For my dues, so like what I did during training that helped me a lot is I treat my Fridays like the pre-race, so I would treat it like Sunday. So I would carb load on Fridays. So Fridays, I usually have 2 orders of breadsticks from Papa John's because they're plain, or 2 big pretzels from the local bar, eat those, and then crush my Saturday runs. So try to get in your habits for race day. It makes everything easier. I would say don't try to PR in practice. Like, it's practice. Live to fight another day. I know last year I had a really good training block coming into Boston, and then it all went downhill. I had Achilles tendonitis. I did everything I could to get to the start line last year, and it worked. But I left a lot of time out there last year. But I was still able to PR, so I was happy with it. But I left a lot of time out there last year, so I'm going to try to get it back this year for sure.
Absolutely. And one important thing I want to talk about is representation and what representation means for us. Phil, can you start talking about that and maybe a little bit about what we're doing at the Black Unicorn Marathoners?
Okay. Representation really matters. Like, when you can see somebody that look like you, that come from the same culture you do, you automatically kind of gravitate toward them. And to see somebody do something is to believe that you can also do it. So a lot of races we show up as Black or minorities, you really don't see a lot of people that look like you. So when you do see another person, it's always a pick-me-upper. Even during the race, like, if you can see somebody that kind of look like you, it's a pick-me-up. I remember back to last year at mile 14, I saw these three Black guys on the side of the road, and I was struggling at the time. I was just coming out of the downhill portion of the race trying to get myself together mentally to hit the Newton Hills, and the guy was like, "We see you, bro. Keep going." And just that right there, like, changed my whole race. For some reason, that, like, put enough energy in me to charge up the hills and finish the race strong. So one of the things we've done here, like, I'm a co-founder of the Black Unicorns, and every year we kind of, like, we honor the Black and brown runners that come to Boston. We have an event for them. We connect. We share information. We encourage one another. It's so cool to come to a place and you not see each other, then you get to an event and you see and you know we here. So that kind of, you carry that into race day. So representation is always big. It'll go back in, even into the communities and healthcare, all of that. So representation is huge.
Absolutely. And this year is 10 years since Meb Kafletsky won the Boston Marathon. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening to celebrate that?
Meb has been, like, such an awesome ambassador for the run community. And one thing Meb does every year, he shows up at our event. He always has some useful tips. And it's not like just cliche cut, just do a little speech every year. He actually communicate with the different runners. And with this being his 10th year anniversary of the run, we're going to honor him by having a Meb 10 team. And this year, with me, Marcus, Luther Isaac, and Ruben, those are the four runners we have on there. And it's just to show our appreciation for him as a former champion and also, like, a great run ambassador for the sport.
And whilst we do have a lot of respect for Meb, we also want to put something down as well. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but back in New York City, Meb passed you, and you didn't quite like that.
See, one thing about runners, like, they're not going to admit it, but we all competitive. And I can remember 2018, that's the first year I started running the majors. I did New York, and Meb was running for his he was running for Team for Kids at the time. And I did like I normally do, like most amateur runners. I took out fast, and by 20, 21, I'm dying. And I get to 21, and I see this guy come by me, and I'm like, dang, that look like Meb. He had a Team for Kids shirt on, he's just running. And I said, I'm going to try to keep up with him for this last little bit of the race, and he just shot out. So I was telling the fellas, I'm like, man, if I see Meb, when he announced this year that he's running for his charity, Team Meb, I was like, if I see Meb on the course, man, I'm going to try to beat him. I said, I got to get my leg back.
And the smart thing is, when you try and call out Meb, don't call him out before the marathon. Wait till marathon weekend. So hopefully he's not got enough time, but he's been putting on some work. Let's see. We've put, like, a little forfeit in place. Like, if Meb finishes in front of you and I, then we have to do a forfeit.
Yeah. We have to come up with some type of...
If Meb beats them, they're going to get their eyebrows threaded.
Nah, that ain't it.
I'm cheering for Meb. So I can have some friends to get their eyebrows done with me.
Slippery slope to self-care. We haven't really got a lot of time left, but I really wanted to jump into the Q&A with everyone. So we've got David here. Has anyone got any questions that they want to ask us?
Yeah, you were talking about minority inclusion, which I think is important. What percent of Boston runners represent minorities? Do you know?
I've thought about it for a while. We've asked the BAA. They say they not really gave us a number because they say like some people don't check what race they are on the application. But me guessing, being here, this is my sixth time here and seeing runners, I would guess, even if you include the elite field, I would guess less than 500 out of almost 30,000 runners. I would guess less than 500.
Okay, one question that we did get asked, and it's from Mandy and from Jordan, is anyone doing any self-care before the race?
Me? Are you guys doing any self-care?
My self-care, I'm going to go to like one of the, either to the hotel or Nike, and I'm going to do the recovery boots and all that stuff. I'm going to do something that, like that, the massage gun or something.
What about you, Marcus?
I don't need anything. I mean, God bless me as I am, so.
Oh, my God. You guys got to learn. You'll learn one day. You can't look this good all the time. Self-care before the race, like I said. After I get done here, get these eyebrows touched up, get the facial done tomorrow. If I can find a sauna, I might do that too. But that's about it for self-care.
What's your favorite go-to post-race meal after Boston? What are you going to go for?
A cheeseburger and a beer. Cheeseburger and a beer. After my first Boston, we was walking. I was disappointed too because I spent my first Boston. In 2018, I spent some time in the medical tent. So after the race, I'm disappointed. And we show up at a local little bar place, and it was full. And when we walked in, I mean, it wasn't nobody looked like us in there. So I was already looking like, dang. And then, like, everybody in there started clapping and cheering. And all I wanted was a cheeseburger, but I ordered the cheeseburger. But before we could get seated, because we was having to wait to be seated because it was full, guys at the bar like sent me beer up there to the door. So my after the race, I want a beer and I want a cheeseburger.
Sounds good. Question from Drifting Dream. Do you think about quitting, slowing down during the race, and what keeps you moving at a fast pace?
First of all, I want to touch back on that. I'm not a beer guy. I'll take a margarita, strawberry margarita, and pizza. That's my go-to, strawberry margarita and pizza. And then I'll follow that up with cookies and ice cream later that night.
Follow up, well.
So that's what I'll do. But what was that question again?
So this is to both of you. What do you think about when you're slowing down and when you're thinking about quitting during a race? Like, what keeps you motivated?
Oh, man. Well, one, it's the hard work that you put in. You didn't, for me, you guys know my training. I got a lot of doubles, run 100-mile weeks. I didn't run 100-mile weeks for no reason. I didn't miss time with the kids for no reason. So it's a lot of soft talk. And then there's a lot of cussing. Like, why did I do this? I hate myself. Like, there's a lot of self-talk out there. I'll just say that.
For me?
Go ahead.
All right, for me, it's like, that's the tough part. That's what you're training for. That's what you develop all that in your tough training workout. So for me, I think about my wives. I think about my kids. I think about other family. Like, I want to be an example. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to get the best out of myself. So that's the whole, you know, marathon is life. Life is marathon. You want to train yourself for life. So when stuff get tough, you don't quit. So when it get tough in a race, I don't quit.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I can relate to that. I think during the race, I definitely think about the people I'm running for, but also think in the last mile or so, I always think about, I dedicate that to myself because I'm like, this is why I'm here. This is the work that I've done. So I think do it for yourself as well, as much as we want to do for other people, because you're out there grinding and you know how difficult it is. And we all go through difficult moments during the race. So I think you've got to celebrate yourself. Last question. What are the trial and error lessons that you've learned from previous Boston marathons that you're going to try and to implement for tomorrow?
Trial and error. Well, my first Boston Marathon, I got the dizzies, and I was about to throw up and ended in the tent. So last year, it was perfectly fine. So I'm going to just make sure I'm hydrated, eat a good breakfast, and I'm good to go.
For me, just make sure you're taking it very easy the first 13, 14 miles, like running on a consistent effort. Like, the pace might change because you're going up and down a little bit, but to make sure your effort is evenly. And then when you get to the hills, just don't be intimidated. Like, even if you slow down a little bit, know that you're going to gain that back on the downside of each one of those four hills.
Last little bit on those hills. I will say the first time I came to Boston, I was very intimidated of the hills. Second time, I was not. Respect the hills, but don't give them too much respect. It's a slippery slope, but don't give those hills too much respect. That's all I got to say.
No, it makes a lot of sense. We're going to wrap this up now. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone that's come to watch and support us. We really appreciate it. Say thank you to Lorna Campbell at the BAA for giving us this opportunity. Also, to thank you to Adrienne Benetton, who's part of the Black Unicorn Marathoners, who helped set this up as well. And yeah, and thank you for Pillar Performance, who've also supported the podcast, the build up to Boston. I want to wish everyone a great race. Have fun, enjoy it. Remember, it's just another Monday. Thank you.